Text this morning is going to be taken from John chapter 4. And have quite a long, lengthy reading there. This typically do not read that many verses, but this morning I'm going to do so and encourage you to read along with me. From John chapter 4. This is in regards to Jesus as he is going from Judea up to Galilee. And the record says in verse number 4 that he needs to go through Samaria. He didn't really have to go through Samaria. He could have gone around it. I think this was part of his plan to go through Samaria and part of the Lord's will. And we're going to read here about his contact with the woman of Samaria at the well. Verse 5 says, John chapter 4, verse 5, "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour," that would be noon. "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus said, or answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to him, to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.' And at that point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman then gave her water pots, left her water pots, and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" And I'm going to stop at that passage there. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we come before thy throne, praising your name, giving you thanks and glory and honor for Jesus Christ, for thy word, for the hope that it gives to us, for the light and the teaching, the guidance that's given to us through thy word. We come asking, Father, that you be with us as we study this portion of thy word today. Forgive us of our sins. Be with us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Jesus is here going from Galilee, or into Galilee from Jerusalem, goes through Samaria. It lies between the two. At noon, we see him stopping at the city of Sychar, sitting at Jacob's well, maybe perhaps on the curbing around the well. While his disciples have gone into the city in order to get food because it's noontime, a Samaritan woman comes at what is a very odd time to draw water. At noon. At noon, when most of them would have been eating. And it's during the heat of the day. Most of them would have fetched their water early in the morning or late in the evening. Jesus asks her for a drink. And the woman is shocked, amazed, perhaps even puzzled, and asks how come a Jew is asking a Samaritan for a drink. The Jews avoided contact with Samaritans. They even considered them unclean. If you wanted to insult a Jew, you called him a Samaritan, as they did Jesus in John chapter 8, verse number 48. They were attempting to insult him, said he was a Samaritan and had a devil. Jesus had nothing to drink from when he asked for a drink from this woman. Would he, a Jew, drink from this Samaritan's container? This unclean person's container? She's a woman. And the disciples, when they return, marvel that he's talking to a woman. A Jew out in public would not normally talk to a woman. And they were sort of like a second-class citizen in their society. In fact, the rabbi teaching was that a woman was not to be taught the detailed teachings of God's word. So she's a Jew, she's a woman, but she was a poor woman. She'd come to draw water. This was a work for slaves and servants of those that had slaves and servants. So she was poor, she came to draw her own. But further than that, she was a degraded woman because she was an adulteress. She had had five husbands. And now she was living with a man who was not her husband. She was not married to. Perhaps this is the reason she came to the well at this odd time of the day. Rather than to come when all the other women is coming and to face them would make her to feel guilty. Perhaps there would be gossip or whispering behind her back as they took note of who she was and the type of person that she was. She would have been considered almost a prostitute by many people because of the life that she had lived. Yet Jesus offered her the gift of God and said, if you'd only known who I was, if you'd asked for living water, I'd have given it to you. And Jesus seeks to lead her to an understanding of who he is and to lead her to faith in him. There are two main points that I like to make this morning in regards to this. First point is that this woman's life is representative of many who are so confused and lost and unhappy without God in our world today. She's representative of many people today. We've just noted something about her life situation. But she was one who was conscious of being a social outcast by most of society. She saw herself as somewhat inferior and condemned by others. She was a woman who was starved for love, a plaything for the lusts of men. She has had, and probably still has, a most unhappy, stressful existence, having been married 5 times, now living with a man that she's not married to. She had evidently sought happiness and meaning in life, wholeness in life, sought to feel significant and important by human relationship, seeking a relationship with a man. Some such women feel that they are not valued if they cannot get a man to love them. And perhaps one wonders if she was living in a little bit of religious confusion because she's asking about where's the place to worship. Maybe that was simply a cover-up to turn the thoughts of Jesus away from the life that she lived and what type of a person that she was as he looked into her life. As we look at her life, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know whether maybe some of you men have done it. I don't know, maybe some of you girls have been tomboy enough to do it when you were young and you turn over a rock and you see all sorts of varmints go, insects and so forth go scurrying for cover. That's sort of what you see is this woman's life is exposed. No telling the type of life and difficulties and wickedness and evil in which this woman had been involved. Yet Jesus offered her the gift of God, living water that would endure to eternal life. Jesus considered her of value and significant. Jesus took the time. He made the effort to teach her and to lead her to know that he was the Christ. Note the circumstances of Jesus at this time. When he took the time to talk to a Samaritan woman, he was tired and weary from his journey, the record said. He was thirsty. He was hungry. It was noontime. He had traveled on a journey that morning of perhaps 30 miles. He was away from home on a journey. He was among ungodly community of people, among people considered inferior and even unclean by his own race. He was among social and cultural outcasts. He was among religious outcasts. And finally, he was in the presence of a woman, but worse than that, an immoral woman. But none of these circumstances stopped him from caring about this woman and her race. If you read on in the record down there in verses 40 and 41, this woman goes into the city, tells the people, and she comes back. And they invite him to come to their city, and he spends 2 days there teaching and instructing the people. And many believed on him, not simply, the record says, because of the woman, but because they heard him speak himself. He cared about them. None of these circumstances stopped him from caring. And in submission to this woman, Jesus asks a favor of her. In one moment, with one question, he completely destroys all of those problems and circumstances that would have separated them. As he, in submission, asks the favor from this woman and for a moment places her in a superior position above him. Could I have a drink of water? He did not have to ask her for water. The water was his to command. He didn't have to pass through Samaria.
He, like most of the Jews, could have gone around it rather than to pass through and have contact with those unclean people. Oh, I believe that there was a purpose for him passing through and spending 2 days there as he did, because he cared for those people. There are many such people today who need this same caring Jesus in their lives. Jesus is not here today to show these people the love of God. He only has us as his disciples. We have been given that charge as his followers to show that same love to the lost, confused, unbelieving of our world. When he left, he commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Our world seems to get farther and farther away from God. And the farther and farther it gets away from God, the greater the suffering and the pain. Today I'm told that nearly 1/3 of all children are born illegitimate and grow up in broken or one-parent homes. They don't even get a good start in life. There are more than ever those who suffer from mental and emotional problems. The taking of tranquilizer-type medicines is an all-time high. Physical violence, crime, rape, murder destroys the lives of thousands each year. Many today see nothing wrong in immorality and fornication and living together outside of marriage. Our society has begun to accept such immoral relationships and even homosexual relationships. And the farther we get from God, away from God, the more and more problems that we have, and more pain and suffering. There is nothing that our world needs more than the caring, loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and the water of life. Our world needs Jesus today. Not to bless the ungodliness of our world, but to reach out to them with a love which leads them to acknowledge faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as he did to this woman. And to reach out with them with those words, except you repent, you all likewise perish. To reach out to them with the words like Ananias said to Saul, what are you waiting for? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Our world needs Jesus. Back to the Bible provides us a great opportunity to reach out to other people. An opportunity for us to say to our community, we care. To say to our community, this is the way. The Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to God. It's a message that everyone in our community receives, whether they come to attend our meetings or not. They feel it's like throwing a stone into the water. There's a ripple effect that every person in this community is going to hear and receive and feel if we make the stone big enough when we throw it into the water. Back to the Bible gives us a great opportunity to bring the love of Jesus Christ into the lives of many, many such people as this woman. But the second point that I would call your attention to from this is the joy, the privilege, and the satisfaction that one receives in bringing something that's life-giving to other people. Notice whenever the disciples returned and found Jesus talking to the woman and interrupted that, when they had opportunity, they said to him, come on, here's the food. We brought you some food now to eat. You notice Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know anything about. He refused the food. And then he says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The satisfaction of doing the will of his Father had diminished his need for food. Doing the will of God brought much greater satisfaction and pleasure and fulfillment than the meeting of any physical needs to Jesus Christ. Doing the will of God tends to overshadow our physical needs so that the physical is put on hold for a while. He was so fulfilled in helping this woman, in teaching this woman, that he did not think of his own physical needs because there was such joy and fulfillment in what he was doing. Oh, he was teaching one woman, wasn't he? Hardly. Because that one woman was the door that opened to the whole city. And Jesus knew that. And we never know what one soul might mean likewise. Maybe it's one individual. Maybe there's one person we'd like to see come to the gospel meeting. And we think, well, they probably won't come anyway. Who would have thought this woman would have become the door to the whole city? This unclean, immoral Samaritan. But she became the door through which Jesus Christ entered to a whole city. We mustn't think that one person will not matter. You mustn't think that you do not matter. You mustn't think that your example does not matter. You might think that your talents and your abilities don't even compare with this woman's. Ah, but look again. None of us are in the situation this woman was in. Every one of us can have more influence than this woman could have. This woman used her influence, and we need to use ours. And we're going to find the joy, the satisfaction, and the pleasure is going to be greater than we ever could anticipate, believe that it would be. This woman speaks about literal water that's in the well and how Jesus is going to draw that water, which is necessary for physical life. But Jesus offered her living water, which could enable one to live eternally. John 6, 26 and 27, Jesus, thereafter he had fed the great multitudes of people, told them when they followed him, he says, you seek me not because you ate the loaves and you were filled. He says, that's the reason you seek me, because you eat the loaves and you were filled. And then he says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but labor for that which endures to eternal life. In Job 23 and verse 12, Job says, I have treasured the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. We'll find leading the lost to the Lord much more enjoyable than the food that we eat each day. This woman had sought life. She had sought happiness and fulfillment, meaning in life, in physical human relationships. Five husbands plus one that wasn't her husband. But Jesus offered her eternal happiness, eternal life, through a relationship with God. That's where it's at. To seek to please God. Seek to have that relationship with Him. We will be of value, and we'll feel that we're of value when we have the relationship with God as it ought to be. It's not relationships with others that will give us that eternal value and eternal life. It's a relationship with God. Jesus is what our world needs. Jesus is what you and I need. He is the living water that brings eternal life He said that if we'll drink of, we'll never thirst again. He is the bread of life. John 6, verse 35. He who comes to me, Jesus said, shall never hunger. John 6 and verse number 51. He says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats the bread, this bread he will live forever. And he says, and the bread which I give is my flesh, which the Son of Man shall give for the world. He said in John 6:54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus Christ is the water of life. He is the bread of life. He gives us eternal life. He is the light of the world. John 8, verse number 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1 and verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's what you need. More than food, more than money, more than a better position, more than anything, you need Jesus Christ, the living water, the bread of life, and the light of the world. And that's what you'll be taking to other people. How great the satisfaction of doing that. You know, I'm convinced that one of the reasons why we do not find such joy in reaching out to others and bringing something life-giving to them is because we're ignorant of our spiritual blessings. We're ignorant of spiritual matters and of things eternal and of their value. A couple of phrases here emphasize that point. Verse number 10, Jesus said to the woman, if you had known the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you. This woman was concerned about water because she didn't know the gift of God. You and I are so concerned about food and clothing and jobs and work and all such things that we don't have time for God. Is it because we don't know the gift of God? And we do not know Jesus Christ. We only know the physical, the food, the clothing, the comforts, our pleasures. Do we want to look into eternity? Do we want to look beyond this life? Do we want to look beyond death and what awaits us there? Do we know that? Can we look beyond with comfort, joy, and satisfaction? Or are we only concerned about here and now? Do we appreciate God's gift of grace and mercy, of eternal life, of heaven? And do we seek and ask for the spiritual blessing? Jesus said, it will be yours if you'll ask. But the woman didn't know to ask. Are we seeking it? Are we asking it? And then verse number 32. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I have food to eat of that you know not. That food was the will of God. Did they not know the will of God? Do we know the satisfaction, the pleasure of fulfilling the will of God? The greatest satisfaction and pleasure enjoyed by Jesus on earth was the doing of his Father's will. He says, it's my food. It's my nourishment. And in the text, we see that Jesus doing the Father's will brought greater fulfillment than physical food. It sustained him. That's what gave him hope. That's what gave him the power to move on day after day, was doing of the Father's will. It was his nourishment. It was what sustained him. It's what gave him life, more necessary than his daily food. He said in John 6, verse 38, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Psalms 40, verse 8, a prophecy of him, I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. Excuse me. Hebrews 10 and verse number 7. I have come to do your will, O God. John 17, verse 4 and 5. Excuse me. John says, I have glorified, or Jesus prays here, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus came to do the Father's will. And he made it plain again and again. That's my food. That's what gives me life. That's what sustains me. Doing of the Father's will. Finally, on the cross, just before he took his last breath, he said, it is finished. What's finished? His doing of the Father's will upon this earth. He came to do the Father's will. That was his life. That was his food. That's what sustained him. The doing of the Father's will. Pleasing the Father. That's what kept him going until that last breath. And he said, it is finished. And he finished his stay upon this earth. He finished and paid the price for our redemption. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2 exhorts us to look unto Jesus, the author of our and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went to that cross looking beyond the pain, the suffering. He looked to the joy that would be his beyond the cross. The joy and the happiness of returning to the Father, of completing his will here upon this earth. What's our greatest joy and satisfaction? Is it the doing of God's will? Is our food to do God's will? Does that fulfill us more than anything else? Does that move us? Does that motivate us? Does that give us the hope, the faith to keep going on? Is that what we live for? To do the Father's will. Note the thrill of the woman as she returns to the city and goes to the men and tells them, says, come see this man that told me everything that I did. Could this be the Messiah? Look what the doing of the Father's will did. It's in such great, excited testimony that she gave to these people. Many from the city comes out. Many are led to Christ because of the excited invitations, testimony that this woman gave about seeing Jesus. What can be more thrilling than working with God, bringing eternal life to those who are doomed to an eternity of death, suffering, and the fires of hell? Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Is that where our pleasure is? Luke chapter 15 and verse number 7, Jesus said, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Bringing the lost, fulfilling the will of the Lord ought to be that which motivates us, to give us the joy, the fulfillment, cause us to feel of value, significant, because of working with Jesus Christ, bringing the lost to him. The lost are there. There's many. And there's nothing greater that we can do that will mean more to them or us than to bring them to him. There are numberless amounts of people out there who are lost. It is God's will that we take the life-giving message, the living water of life, to them. Our greatest pleasure, yea, our food, needs to be the doing of the Father's will and reaching out to those that are lost. Are you drinking of that living water this morning? Are you eating of the bread of life? Is your light shining to a lost and dying world because the light of the world shines through you, Jesus Christ? Oh, I pray that it is. But if he's not living within you, if you're not drinking of that living water, won't you begin to drink of it this morning? Or if as a Christian you have fallen away, maybe you've turned back to the world and you need to repent, be identified with God's people as the one who's going to serve the Lord and work with this congregation, will you not respond to the invitation and begin that life this morning? If you subject to the invitation, will you not come now while we stand and while we sing?